He took by the authority of the Holy Spirit and he said, I will do that. He recognized something different about Peter. He recognized something. My goodness, if they recognize something different about you, they'll want it. Amen? If they don't recognize something different about you, they'll send you on your way and find the next person that will give them something. They recognized something different about Peter. And he stood. And it says that possibly he walked a little bit. Whoa! Hey, I can do this. That was a first Pentecostal jig. Come on now. Are you with me? That was the first Pentecostal jig. He got up and he was happy. We need to get happy in the Lord, because in today's world, there's not a lot of people happy. Thank you for turning that down a little. We need to get happy in the Lord. He got happy. Well, if you go on to the rest of that chapter, it says, but the temple wasn't too happy. The church wasn't too happy. They were a little upset. What are you doing to this guy? Okay? You know, it was the power of the Holy Spirit that moved upon the disciple, and it was the power of the Holy Spirit that moved upon the beggar to heal him and give him the strength to begin to walk and leaping and praising God. It was that same power, the Holy Spirit, that gave them the ability to answer the Jews who questioned how this miracle could take place. They walked into the temple, and the Jews began to question him. What do you think you're doing? By what authority do you think you're doing this in? But you got to realize something too. They knew the beggar. They knew the beggar. They knew him. They knew who he was. They knew that he sat out there every day. They knew that he begged for money every day. They knew that he couldn't walk. They knew that he was lame. They knew this about that man. And they wanted to know, how did you do this? And when Peter and John began to answer them that it was by the power of the Holy Spirit, and it was by the power of the resurrection, Jesus. You know, they didn't stop there. They called him, you murderers, you liars, you presumptuous men that think you are something. You are nothing in God. I really think that kind of upset them. But they knew the boldness, and they saw the miracle. They knew the boldness. They saw the miracle. Here's what Peter had to say about the whole scenario. He called them murderers, witnesses of murderers, and ignorant because they had crucified the Lord Jesus. Verse 19, he said, so repent. Change your mind and purpose. Turn around and return to God, that your sins may be erased, blotted out, wiped clean, and that times of refreshing, of recovering from the effects of heat, of reviving from fresh air may come from the presence of the Lord. That was his answer. Do you know what happened? 5,000 people were saved that day. That's the boldness of the presence of the Holy Spirit and fire. Do you understand what I'm saying? John Osteen, after he'd received the Holy Spirit, was in the tribunal being ridiculed, mocked, screamed at. He said some were praising him, some were cursing him. But it wasn't a little one. This was a big crowd, big, when they sent him in. He had this one lady up in front, and she kept doing that. Could not hear a word she was saying because of all the how much noise was going on. But she was going like this the whole time. And he thought for sure she was really cursing him. You know, you think you're something, been baptized. What do you think? That's not of God. That's what he thought. But as the crowd quietened, he heard, You got that fire and I want it. You got the baptism and I want it. She kept yelling that out and yelling that out. Well, he didn't know what, you know, he was on the pulpit. So he went to look to this young man over there that was, he thought was Pentecostal. He turned out to be a Lutheran pastor that was selling Bibles and figured that he could sell a few Bibles in that meeting. He didn't know what he was, so he went over there and said, hey, can you go down there and pray for that lady? Anoint her and pray for her? Well, the guy said, okay, fine, I'll do that. He went down there. He went down there and began to pray for her, and she fell under the power of God. He fell under the power of God, and they both got filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? When you hunger and thirst for God, then it'll happen. The power of the Holy Spirit will come when you hunger and thirst. The problem of today, that we're not hungry. We're not thirsty for God. I want God. I want the power of God. I want His Holy Spirit. I want to see His healings again. It's been way too long, oh God, way too long. Let me tell you the rest of the story. This old Lutheran guy had a group of other Lutherans with him. He had to get them in the car and drive 2.5 hours to their next meeting. No, 2.5 days. Not 2.5 hours, 2.5 days. Selling Bibles. In 2.5 days, he wrote back to John. He says, I want to let you know something. 2.5 days, I had a car full of Lutherans. And by the time we were done, I had a car full of Pentecostals. They all got filled with the Holy Ghost. And do you understand? This is what God wants to do. He has not changed. Woo. Only the power of the Holy Spirit can make you that bold and give that kind of power to strike at the heart a sinful man. Today, doesn't happen. Sinful man can walk right in church and feel just at home, just as comfortable at church. I mean, I can't believe some of the things I listen to even on TV. Christian movies that I sometimes watch. I was watching this one Christian movie that was a good movie. But they were talking about the 12-step rehabilitation. And they would get up and say, I'm an alcoholic, but I am a Christian, and I'm suffering from alcoholism. Okay. Now, I can understand that they can be a born-again believer and be struggling with alcoholism. The problem that I don't understand is where is the power of the Holy Spirit and fire in the midst of all that? 20 years ago, if somebody would have said that, the church would have got up, went back to that man, laid hands upon that man, and that man would have been miraculously healed and delivered. Somebody say amen, because that's the truth. 10 years ago, I really believe that could happen. But today, they clap their hands and say, oh, we're just so glad that you're at the 12-step program and that you have acknowledged this. Where's the prayer? Where's the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire? I have nothing against going through problems. People do. There are addictions out there. And it, you know what? It hits Christians every day. You know why? It probably hits a Christian more than it does a non-Christian. Because a Christian has made that commitment. And the devil knows that he's made that commitment. And the devil knows the weakness of that Christian. So what's he going to go? He ain't going to go against your strength. That would not work. And he knows that would not work. So what does he do? He knows your weaknesses. If anyone knows your weaknesses, Satan knows your weaknesses. Hallelujah. And he's not going to go after your strength because he knows he's going to fail. But he's going to go after your weaknesses. He's going to find a weakness that you're weak at, and he's going to attack it. And it's up to you, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and to counteract that. It's by the people in the church that will come to you when you are struggling, when you are going through that, under the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and pray with you. Not ridicule you. Not tell you to go to some 12-step program, but to pray for you and to pray for you until you are delivered, hallelujah, because God is the deliverer, hallelujah. We're losing it. We're getting so organized, that we're losing the power of the Holy Spirit and we're putting it into 12-step programs. Now, please, don't get me wrong. I'm not against 12-step programs. I believe they have their day and their time. I believe they are great programs and do a great work. But if all it is a 12-step program, it's not going to do nothing. You take that 12-step program and put a Holy Ghost-fired member in it, I'll guarantee you something will happen. And their testimonies won't be, "I'm an alcoholic, but I'm saved." No, the question would be, "I'm saved and was an alcoholic. And through the power of the Holy Spirit and fire, I no longer have that addiction in my heart. I no longer have that addiction in my life. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit and fire that I have been delivered." Woo! That's what it's going to take. That's what it's going to take. And that's what our church of today needs. Man, I haven't got through page one. Shema knees. You must understand something. When God moves, the devil tries to fight back. Peter and John were put in jail and brought before the magistrates, the elders, and the scribes, including Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, oh God, and John, and Alexander, and all others who belonged to the high priesthood. Peter, filled with and controlled by the Holy Spirit, addressed the rulers and the people and the members of the council with such boldness, it amazed them. How a common Jew could possess such knowledge and wisdom. How a common Christian could possess such knowledge and wisdom. It's only by the boldness of the Holy Spirit and fire. They were filled. They had the fire. They had the boldness. And I'll tell you, every Christian today, you will be approached by Satan. You will be standing before the high magistrates. You will be standing before certain people. And it's how you answer them that makes all the difference in the world. Amen? It's how you answer them. Peter answered with boldness, and he says, "But Peter and John replied to them, 'Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you and obey you rather than God, you must decide or judge. But we ourselves cannot help telling what we have seen and what we have heard.'" They told him to stop your preaching, stop your teaching. And they answered him, "Judge for yourself, people. The lame are healed, the sick are healed, the blind see, people are saved, dynamically saved." This is our answer to the world today, because the world will try to set you down. The world will try to analyze you into the point you don't have to do this. My goodness, I know you're a born again believer, but just be a little bit more quiet, would you please? Huh? They want to quiet you down. But I'll tell you, when you get hungry for God, there ain't no demon in hell that'll be able to quiet you down. When you get hungry for God, you'll have to tell the people. When you get hungry for God, you'll want to go to the highways and the byways and let them know. Let them know. The problem is, we're not hungry. We're not hungry anymore. I think the church is the day you ate so much steak, bacon and eggs, that you're satisfied. When God's got the filet mignon just waiting for you. See? He's got the best just waiting for you. Oh, taste and see what the Lord has, because He is good. He is good, and He has got something for you. Later that day, where they were gathered together in one accord, after the Sanhedrin, after the high priest, ridiculed them, scolded them, beat them a little bit, and told them, don't do it again. You want to hear what they did when they got back? And now, Lord, observe their threats and grant to your bond servants full freedom to declare your message fearlessly while you stretch out your hand to cure and to perform signs and wonders through the authority and by the power of the name of your holy child and servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they continued to speak the word of God with freedom and boldness and courage. Hallelujah! It says what they did when they were told not to do it, they did just the opposite, because they said, here we have been persecuted, here we have been scolded, here we have been beaten for your name, O Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Golly, I tell you something. Christians today, when they get a little scolded, they go whine and groan and moan and groan and go hide and quit the church. They'll find a church they can be comfortable in. My goodness. I don't want to be comfortable in church. I don't want to be comfortable anymore. I want the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to move under the unction of the Holy Spirit. I want to see God do something. I want to see God move more than He's ever moved before, because we are in the last days, church. We are in the last time, in the last age. And if we don't get on fire for God now, we're going to be like those five virgins that didn't make it in because they weren't ready. Hallelujah. I want to be ready. I want to be fired up. I want to have the Holy Ghost in fire. I want the anointing. I want enough oil that will get me through. Hallelujah. So we as Christians must have the Holy Spirit if we want to have power and boldness to witness, to preach, and to minister to the lost. Are we living in a lost world? Are we living in a lost generation? Reno's Sparks is an area that's full of lost people. If I didn't feel that, I'd be gone already. I'd be hunting down another church. You want the truth? I'm going to tell you the truth. If I didn't feel that there was something out there that God wants in this neighborhood, in this society, and where we're at right now in Sparks and Reno, I wouldn't be here. But I still believe, God, there is something. God, you need to move. God, you need an end time revival to touch the churches today. We need to fill our churches with hungry people that want to see you move. We need to make a precedence for what you want, God, for what you suffered, oh God. We'll never be able to take what you suffered back, oh God, because you paid it all, but we can do what we can. Through the Holy Ghost and fire, we can meet this world. Through the Holy Ghost and fire, we can meet our people around us and pray for them. Pray for them. That's just one. Why else should we have the Holy Ghost then? Because we not only need the boldness, we need the Holy Spirit baptism to be filled with the Spirit of God and to have a closer walk with Him. We need a closer walk with our Heavenly Father. And that's another thing. See, the devil knows exactly what he's doing. He's not going to go after your strengths. He's going to go after your weaknesses. And if he doesn't see a weakness, he'll just go out there and make you comfortable. You see what I'm saying? He'll make you comfortable. Oh, you don't need a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Jeez, my knees. No. We'll have entertainment. We'll have bands that can play, wow, that'll knock your socks off. And I like those that knock my socks off. I feel pretty good when I can hear a good worship band playing. Woohoo! You know? But that's only part of it. That's only part of it. We need to walk closer with God. See, you know why Christians today suffer so much with so many different addictions? Christians. I'm not talking about non-Christians. I'm talking about Christians that are walking with so many different addictions because they're not walking close enough to God. You get close enough to God, every addiction will fall away because God won't allow it. You get close enough to God, when you feel something coming on you, you'll just begin to speak. You'll begin to speak by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit will throttle off anything that Satan comes to you. Why Christians today are so weak is they don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I hear it being said over and over and over again. Oh, my goodness, when you're saved, you've got the baptism. You've got the Holy Spirit. Isn't that enough? I totally agree with them. That the Baptist in me. I totally agree with them. When you are saved, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in you. That I believe. That I understand. But we lost something. We lost the gift. Do you understand what the gift is? When somebody wants to hand you $1 million, will you not accept it? Anybody here will not accept $1 million if it was given to you. I was waiting for somebody to raise their hand. I go back there and say, well, then give it to me. All of you, when a gift is handed to you freely, will accept it. Well, the Lord Jesus says, I have a gift for you. I have it and it's free. And it's not only going to present a million, but a trillion, a gulta trillion. It's going to be so much that you will not even be able in yourself to contain it. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit and in fire. And it says, when you get that, that means it's going to give you boldness to go against Satan and go against every tactic that he has. Without it, he'll beat you. John Osteen said, 19 years I was a Baptist preacher. I don't know how I did it. I don't know how I survived 19 years as a Christian. All the trouble I went through, now I look back and says, why didn't I get this 19 years ago? Look how much easier my Christian walk would have been. Look how much easier my life, my Christian life would have been. Look how much easier I could have fought the devil. Before, I had to fight him on my own. And guess what? He won a lot of times. But now under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, when the devil comes at me, he might hit me in the right. But I'll come back with him with the left. You know? And I'll win because the baptism of the Holy Spirit and is with me. And that's what he wants. See, John, he said that. He said, I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. And my goodness, when you guys get a chance, get on YouTube and watch him. He preaches under the anointing of the, I wish his son. I'm praying. I liked his preaching because he's kind of a charismatic preacher. But now I'm going to start praying for him. Now I know he had a father filled with the Holy Spirit and fire. He had a father filled with the Holy Spirit and fire. And that father, it was filled with the Holy Spirit and fire. It can run off onto Joel, I'm going to pray for him daily that the power of the Holy Spirit and fire get a hold of him and he gets hungry for God like he's never did before. Look at that. Look at that. Look at the thousands of people that he could have. Oh my goodness. John 20, verses 21 and 22 says, then Jesus said to them again, peace to you, just as the Father has sent to me forth, I am sending to you. And having said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. See, I want you to understand, that's what God says. I want the Holy Spirit within me. I want his breath in my breath. When I breathe, I want to feel the breath of God in me. Hallelujah. When you are saved, the breath of Jesus goes inside you, and the Holy Spirit dwells inside you. But there is something different when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. Hallelujah. You might have been weak before, but you are bold now. Woo. What does the fire of God that comes from the Holy Spirit do for us? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. The fire of the Holy Spirit melts the heart of stone and turns it into a heart after God's own heart. Like the heat of a volcano, a molten lava, our heart begins to flow with the guiding hand of God to follow the path that he has made for us. The fire of the Holy Spirit brings to light the carnality of our soul and causes us to repent of the sin in our lives. Little by little, the fire of the Holy Spirit burns away those things that beset us, those little foxes that spoil the vines, in a constant refining process that brings us closer to a holy and sanctified Christ-centered life. That's the fire of the Holy Spirit. So you remember when this first scripture I gave you, first it said that he comes and he baptizes you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Then it talks about the second verse to that, talks about the refining of that fire, that he's going to purge you, that he's going to burn out every chaff, that he's going to burn out every sin. He didn't say that. He's not talking about non-saved people. Do you understand that? He's talking about born-again believers. Jesus is talking about you. And he understands you more than you probably even understand yourself. He understands that without the Holy Spirit and fire, the things that you're going through are going to be a lot harder to be able to get out of you. Those foxes in your life. I don't know what those foxes are, but Jesus says he knows the foxes. He knows what you're going through. He knows your carnality. He knows your addictions. And he says, I'll get them. Let me refine them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. And when the fire of the Holy Spirit gets a hold of you, all of a sudden, those foxes, those addictions, those carnalities will begin to shred off of you. They'll burn off of you. Do you understand about gold? Okay, when you purify gold, all gold is when you first see it is a rock. Doesn't look very pretty, does it? So you got to refine it. And it refines in stages. They can't refine gold all the way or it'll burn up the gold. So they have to refine it in stages. The heat is brought on. It's brought on in a certain degree. What that does, it gets rid of all the different chemicals, all the different things in that gold. Then they heat it up even more. You know, you got 10 karat gold. You got 24 karat gold. It's just a matter of how hot they get it to refine it to make it pure. I always look at people as Christians. How refined do you want to be? Do you want to be 1 carat? You want to be 10 carat? Want to be 24 carat? I want to be 100 carat. God, burn it all. Burn it up until there's nothing left. Because I really don't want this carnality. I don't want this sinful life. I don't want the carnality that lives in me. Did you know that even this pastor has carnality? Come on. We all as Christians have carnality. We all as Christians struggle. And it all depends on how much fire we allow the Holy Spirit to purge out of us, to purge us. I long for the day when we see more the manifestations of the Holy Spirit within the church of today. I've seen it in the past. Ray, I know you have. A lot of you have seen it. Problem is, we're not seeing it like we used to. We're not seeing it. I believe that the scripture is still true when Jesus says in his final words, before being received into heaven after his resurrection, he says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Well, come on, that's Jesus talking. If he says they're going to speak with new tongues, what does that mean? Come on, Baptist, get it together. Jesus himself is saying you're going to speak with new tongues. You might as well just start speaking with new tongues. Quit saying it's of the devil. That was for the Baptist, by the way. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up servants, and they shall drink any deadly thing, and it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Woo! You know, we need to see more of those things happening today. We need to see the sick recovered. We need to see the lame walk. We need to see oppressed being healed. Churches today have psychologists. If you have a problem, we'll send you to our counselor. Again, I have nothing against counselors. They have a job to do. But if they're not going to pray with you, then I'm not sending anybody to a counselor that doesn't know how to pray. Because then it becomes all psychological and no spiritual. Amen? Okay. There isn't much fire anymore because we have become too accustomed to the presence of God and we take him for granted. It's time we wake up and see our condition. We need to be refilled. We need to be filled to the overflowing. We need to be immersed in the Holy Spirit and in fire. We must do like Elijah in 1 Kings and call down the fire from heaven to consume us with the living sacrifices and cleanse our hearts and allow the Lord Jesus Christ to fill us again. Do you understand that? Now, I'm closing, but I got some prerequisites to leave with you. Take these with you. Get out on the highways and the byways and let the fire of the Holy Spirit consume you one more time. The fire of the Holy Spirit is not age-related. Maybe I ought to say that again. The fire of the Holy Spirit is not age-related. I have seen kids 5 years old filled with the fire of the Holy Spirit preaching his word. I have seen adults 80, 70, 80, 90 years old still on fire for God and still preaching. Moore Cirillo, I don't even know how old he is, but he's old. He's a lot older than me. You know, probably a lot older than Ray. Billy Graham, another good example. These guys are still on fire for God, on fire for God, and still, I can't believe there'll ever be a minister or child of God that'll retire. When you decide to retire, then you better start praying God take you home. Because there is no retirement in God. You always can be doing something for God. You can always be doing something for God. But here are the prerequisites to being filled with the Holy Spirit and fire. You must be saved. You must be saved. I saw John Osteen when he was preaching on the Holy Spirit and fire. He looked at the camera. He said, you'll never receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire until you receive Jesus. Now, if you don't know him right now on that TV screen, you know him. You get to know him. And let's pray right now. That's exactly what we need to be doing. Don't need to be talking to the TV, by the way. But you can talk to other people. I know every one of you probably knows someone that is not saved. You need to be talking to them. They need the Lord. They need Jesus. Without Jesus, it's nothing. Without Jesus, you're doomed. You're doomed. I want to tell you, too, also, this is another little thing he told me. You must know that. I must have liked that message. It says, right today is the quietest place you'll be in the world. Today. So get used to this place today. Because I'll guarantee you, in hell, there's going to be a lot of screaming going on. There's going to be a lot of gnashing of teeth going on in hell. So you're not going to like hell if you like it to be quiet. In heaven, there's going to be a lot of people praising God and worshiping God and just glorifying God. So it's going to be a noisy shouting place up there. And you're not going to like it up there. Guess what? You can't stay here. So you better get used to the noise. You better get used to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you better get used to praising God. You better get used to lifting your hands. You better get used to doing these things, because I'll tell you something, you're not going to be able to sit still in heaven or in hell. Woo! Somebody clap. My goodness, yes. So the very first prerequisite, you must be saved. Repent of those things that have kept us from experiencing God's best in our life. Repent, and you shall be saved. You must be obedient to the call of God and to go into the world and to witness for Jesus. We must be obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit within our lives to do the work for the kingdom of God. Amen? We must be hungry for the bread of life and thirsty for the word of God that fills the void within each of us. A stands for ask, and ye shall receive. S stands for seek, and ye shall find. K stands for knock, and it shall be open. So what I'm saying is, we need to learn to ask. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Why people today don't receive? They don't. Why people today don't receive? They don't. Why people today don't receive? They don't. You got to learn to do this. The Lord is out there. He is waiting for you to ask. He's waiting for you to seek. He's waiting for you to knock. He's not going to open the door if you don't knock. He's not going to answer you if you don't seek him. He's not going to answer you if you don't ask him. So learn to do that. We must surrender our will to Jesus. Ooh, now there's the big one. Our will to Jesus. And allow the Holy Spirit to come in. Total commitment, and believe that he will. See, it's one thing to allow it. The next thing, to believe he will. When that young man went down and prayed for that lady that was, I need it. He didn't even have it. But you know what? He had the faith to say, when John told him to do it, he had the faith to believe, okay, I'll do this. I don't know what I'm doing. But I will pray for her. And look what happened. A lot of times you don't know what you're going to do. It's a blind obedience to follow what God tells you. Some preacher or some person says, well, why don't you go pray for that person? You don't know what will happen when you do. That's having faith. Blind obedience and faith. He had faith to believe, I'll go down and pray with her. Now, I don't believe he had faith to believe that she was going to get filled with the Holy Spirit or anything. He just did it out of obedience and by obedience. See, God wants our obedience better than our sacrifice. Amen? He was obedient, and God saw it. And God honored it. And God filled them both. Just like he can fill you when you're obedient. You're obedient. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit today more than we've ever needed it before. Because I believe today is the last days. There's not a long time. There's not a long time before our good Lord's going to come. It could come in my day. It could come tomorrow. It could come next week. But I do believe it's soon. Soon and very soon, our Heavenly Father's going to come. We need to be ready. Let us prepare our hearts. Pray for the refreshing rain of the Spirit of heaven. seek and face God and ask Him for the Holy Spirit and fire to be made manifest within us, to be made manifest within our church, and made and be manifest in this area. Bow your heads. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, You are the way, the truth, and the light, O God, and no man comes unto anything in this world except by You. I pray, God, right now, the fire of the Holy Spirit touch. The fire of the Holy Spirit lead. The fire of the Holy Spirit. I believe without a doubt that the majority of the people in our congregation today have this baptism. But we're not using it. We're not allowing the baptism of the Holy Spirit to lead us. We're trying to lead the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're trying to lead the Holy Spirit where we want to go instead of the Holy Spirit leading us where He wants to go. Let us change that and get that blind obedience to do what the Father says. Get that blind obedience to do what the Holy Spirit says. And I'll guarantee if we'll get that blind obedience to do what God tells us to do, He will do mighty exploits in you through Him. Do that in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I will not and could not close this service without asking first. If you do not know the Lord as your personal Savior, you don't even know what I'm talking about. You need to understand salvation is the prerequisite to receive anything from God. Anything from God. You must be saved. You must be saved. This morning, if you're not saved and you'd like to say, Pastor, pray with me, raise your hand right now. Okay? Now I pray for those. And I believe today most of you are filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe today you need a rebaptism. You need to stand and you need to ask God, God, refill me. Refill me. I have seen the presence of God touch so many people. I want you to stand. Stand right now. Right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Right now. Right now. Right now, God, let the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire come down and touch each and every one here. Let Your Holy Spirit, oh God, flow in their lives, oh Lord. I know they might have received it in the past, but I also know, Lord, they're not utilizing that gift You have given. Lord, if You don't use a gift enough, that gift will go away. So I pray in the name of Jesus. Lord, open the hearts, open the minds, open the thoughts of each and every one here, and let them reach out and speak Your words. In the mighty name of Jesus, speak it out to Jesus. Speak it out under the anointing. Speak it out under the fire, the anointing of the Holy Spirit right now. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. As Paul would say, I speak in tongues more than you all. I believe we all can learn from what Paul said. Jesus. As Ray sings a song, just lift your hearts and begin to worship the Lord.
Have thine own way.